إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بإذن الله تعالى we are here on the first day of this Leadership Excellence course LEC in Malaysia and I want to remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world with a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us for a reason and He sent us for a purpose. And the purpose that He sent us for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. The famous ayah of Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are the best of people. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, you have been extracted for the benefit of people. And what do you do? تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you enjoin good, you promote good, you establish good, you demonstrate good, and you be good. The issue with تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ is that we have restricted it to shooting fatawa from the hip. This is halal, that is haram, this is that, and we think that the job is over. But the meaning of Amar bil Maruf, as we understand it from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has nothing to do with giving fatawa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his whole life did not give as many fatawa as some of us give in 1 week. So Amar bil Maruf is not shooting fatawa. And Nahi Anil Munkar is also not shooting fatawa. Nahi Anil Munkar is not looking for and searching for the faults of our brothers and sisters. Because we seem to have, this is our major occupation today, may Allah forgive us, is to look for the faults in people. When an imam is reading salah, is reciting salah, we are more focused on finding fault in the tajweed of the imam and less focused on what is happening to my khushu in that salah when I am praying. Whereas when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask, how was the tajweed of the imam? What is your opinion? What do you think? Allah is going to say, what was your salah like? The question will be on something which we have forgotten. And we are focused on things that we will never be questioned about. So Allah sent us for a purpose, and the purpose was Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. And the result of Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar is Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa tu'minuna billah. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you and myself, you are here at the Leadership Excellence course of the Standard Bearers Academy. What is the meaning of Standard Bearers? What is the meaning of being a standard bearer of Islam? Being a standard bearer of Islam is not something that the so-called members of the Standard Bearers Academy are supposed to do. The name is only incidental. May Allah protect and help the work of the Academy, but Qadarullah Ta'ala, if tomorrow the Academy ceases to exist, will the Muslims no longer be required to be standard bearers of Islam? If there is no academy anymore and if the memory of the academy is also wiped out, what difference does it make? It makes no difference to the work of the Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to be standard bearers of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to be representatives of Islam. We know the famous hadith of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, which is one of the hadith in the book of Living Islam that you will be reading and studying with Sheikh Muhammad Chippy. And that hadith is that a man came to her radiallahu anha and asked, please tell me something about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did she say? We know all the answers. There is no mystery in the answers. What did she say? She said, don't you read the Quran? Now, what kind of answer is that? If you think about it, you know, he is asking about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she is saying, do you not read the Quran? But if you look at this, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the tafsir of the Quran in action. It's a strange phenomena today that even in our madaris and Diyarul Uloom, we do not teach the tafsir of the Quran in the way of the practice of that tafsir. We do not teach the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In most of the madaris that I know of and the nisab that they follow, incidents of the seerah which the students come to know is because of one of two things, either from the asbab and nuzul of the Quran or from some of the ahadith al-nabawiyah which they read. Otherwise, there is no systematic study of the seerah. And that is a very strange thing to me, because the seerah is the tafsir of the Quran. How can anyone understand the Quran if he does not know the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If someone says that I understand the Quran and I have studied the Quran, and he does not know anything about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you have to doubt that statement. There's no way that a person can understand the kalam of Allah if he does not know the Nabi of Allah. There are two ways of guiding a person. If I ask you directions, there is a observatory here nearby which is named after Al-Khawarizmi. And if I ask you and I say, how do I go there? There are two ways in which you can direct me. One way is you can draw a map and give me, and you say, you go out of this gate and you take a right and then you take a left and you go this and you do that and you do that and you give me written directions. This is one way of giving directions to anybody. Now when I take your map and I think I understand the map, but as I am going, and especially if the directions are complicated, if the destination is far away, as I am going, it is entirely possible that I may misread the map, or I might misunderstand the map, or I might misinterpret some direction, and I might actually get lost, or I get, you know, land up in some other place. This is possible. Because I have been given written directions, the map doesn't talk to me, the paper doesn't talk to me. So I have to rely on my understanding of that paper, and this understanding may be right, it may be wrong. But this is a way of giving directions. If somebody gives directions like this, you can't say it is wrong. It is one of the ways of giving directions. But there is another way of giving directions which is absolutely foolproof. Impossible to go wrong. Now what is that way? That way is that when I come and I ask my brother here, how do I go to that place? He does not give me written directions. He says, follow me. Just follow me. Now he knows how to get there. And as long as I follow him, there is no chance whatsoever of me going wrong. Yes? So two ways of giving directions. One is by writing. Another one is by saying, follow the man who knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the latter. He chose the second way to teach us how to live Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa fala tattabi'u khutwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh you who believe, enter into Islam completely and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. So now if you say, Ya Allah, I'm ready, labbaik, so how should I do this? How can I enter Islam fully? And how can I not follow the footsteps of shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given written directions. Allah was not limited by his editor when he is writing the Quran to say you cannot go beyond 6,000 ayats. So whatever you have to say, say it in 6,000. You cannot do 7,000. You cannot do 8,000. Allah does not have an editor to worry about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made the Quran into 50,000 ayats. Into a 500,000 ayat. The Quran could have been in 25 volumes. Who stops Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Every single direction of what we should do could have been written down in detail, could have been revealed in detail by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah chose not to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a much more reliable way than writing down. And what is that reliable way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, follow my Nabi. He said, follow my Nabi. The life of my Nabi is the best example for you. Best example for whom? The one who يَرْجُ اللَّهَ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ. Think about the wording of the ayah. Someone who looks forward to the meeting with Allah. Yes? يَرْجُ اللَّهَ. My brothers and sisters, everyone will meet Allah. Everyone will be resurrected on the day of judgment, whether he likes it or he doesn't like it, or whether he looks forward to it or he hates the thought of it or anything, makes no difference. Everyone will be resurrected. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that this is for those who will be resurrected. No. He said this is for those who look forward to that resurrection, who look forward to the meeting with their Rabb. Who will look forward to something except one who expects a good reward? Who looks forward to meeting somebody you hate? Who looks forward to meeting someone you don't want to meet, you dislike? We look forward to meeting the one we love. We look forward to meeting the one for which that meeting for that day we have been waiting all our life. يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And that is the ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا is the action of the one who looks forward to meeting Allah. What does he do? He constantly remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He constantly remembers Allah because he is looking forward to meeting Allah. So the whole time he is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. The whole time his focus and concentration is on that meeting with Allah. He does not want to spoil that meeting. So, ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا is not only to make zikr with your tongue, it is to have the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything we do. ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا is the work of the standard bearer of Islam. My brothers and sisters, every minute that we are alive, we have an opportunity. And that opportunity is to think about what example am I showing to the world? Because believe me, whether we think about that or we don't think about that, we are showing some example to the world. Irrespective. When I talk to parents, I tell them, I say, you are role models, period. Now you decide what kind of role model you want to be. If you did not want to be a role model for your children, you should not have had children. But the minute you have children, you are a role model to those children. The minute you are a teacher, you are a role model to those students who come to study from you. Whether you like it or you don't like it. If you didn't like it, you should not have taught, you should not have become a teacher. Your choice is, what kind of role model do I want to be? And therefore, if we did not want to be role models for the world, we should not have entered Islam. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for most of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that we are born as Muslims, alhamdulillah. And for those others who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to Islam. So they accepted Islam. So now that we have accepted Islam, what have we automatically accepted? I want to remind myself and you, consciously think about that and consciously make that choice now as you sit here. What have we accepted? And let us do that consciously. What have we accepted when we accepted Islam? We have accepted that we are role models to the world. That we are the benchmarks for the world. If the world wants to know how to live, they should look at us. If the world wants to know how to talk, they should look at us. If the world wants to know what is being truthful, they should look at us. If the world wants to know the meaning of integrity, they should look at us. If the world wants to know the meaning of courage and compassion, they should look at us. If the world wants to know the meaning of a beautiful life, of hayat and tayyaba, they should look at us. If the world wants to know what it should not do, they should look at us. Because we do not do those things. This is what we have said when we said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So let us do that consciously. Let us understand that every action of ours, every speech of ours is on a big screen which is visible to the whole world. And the whole world is looking at it. Today some of us get very upset when a Muslim does some nonsense and people say this is what Islam is like. And we get very upset and we say, why do you blame Islam for the actions of a Muslim? But my question to you is very simple. Who do you want the people to blame for the actions of a Muslim? If they should not put the blame on Islam, where should they put the blame? On Hinduism? On Christianity? On Judaism? On who? You say, no, but you know, that is the action of an individual. But that individual is not living in a vacuum. Who is that individual? And then we say, no, but you know, if a Christian does that, you do not say it is Christianity. If a Hindu does that, you do not say it is because of Hinduism. Well, let me ask you a question. Which Christian do you know who stood up and said that I am a benchmark to the world? Which Hindu do you know who stood up and said I am a benchmark to the world? They never claimed that. They never claimed that they are khaira ummat. Allah never told them that they are the best of the people. They never claimed that they are benchmarks to the world. So, naturally, if a Hindu does something, they say, yeah, somebody did it. Hinduism has nothing to do with Hinduism. But if a Muslim does it, they say, no, this is Islam. See? Why? Because you are a representative of Islam. You are a standard bearer of Islam. You are a representative of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Your Rabb said that. Your Nabi said that. And you are saying it. So why do you cry now if somebody blames you? And why do you cry if your action reflects badly on your religion, on your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When people criticized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everyone got very upset. People attacked this embassy, that embassy, killed this man, that man, did all sorts of nonsense. For the most part, they only killed Muslims. But we must think, why does the world have a negative image of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the man never did anything wrong? Why? Because the world goes by their perception. Perception is reality. And what is the world perceiving? Are they seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? No. How can they see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? But they see me. They say me. And who am I? I say I am the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I am an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I am a Muslim. So they say, fine, very good. So you are a Muslim. So you are related to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, I am related to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because I am his ummati. And there is no relationship that is stronger than the relationship of the Nabi with his ummati. It's not a relationship of blood and genetic relationship. No. The relationship is of the Nabi and the ummati of the Nabi. So I am related to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each one of you is related to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I did not say that. He said it sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in the famous hadith, he said that on the day of judgment, I will be with my brothers and sisters. He did not say, I will be with my ummati. He said, I will be with my brothers. And the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they said, Ya Rasulullah, but we are your brothers. He said, you are my Sahaba. You are my companions and Allah has given you a different level. But on the day of judgment, I will be with those who believed in me without having seen me. So, ya ikhwan wa akhawatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wake up. Wake up. You are the brothers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the sisters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wake up. Stop living like people who are cattle and sheep. Because you are not cattle and sheep. You are not even ordinary human beings. You are the brothers and sisters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every action of yours reflects on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reflects not in terms of he does not get the sin for that, but the people, the world views your action as if it is an action that has been sanctioned and approved of by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because they say that if it is not approved by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then why does the man do it? Because this is a man and this is a woman who claims to be an ummati of the Rasul. This is the man and the woman who claims to be related to the Rasul. So how can they do something which the Rasul would not have done? How can they do something which the Rasul would not have approved of? Do you think this is reasonable or not reasonable? We blame them. We say, how can you say that? But what else can they say? Tell me. And I tell you this, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain, their worldview was very different from ours. They did not say, separate us from Islam. Look at us separately and look at Islam separately. Me and my actions are my actions. Nothing to do with Islam. Islam is something else. They did not say this. What did they say? The famous quote of all the Sahaba, Kunu mithlana, be like us. Somebody came and said, what is Islam? They say, look at me. He said, how should I live? He said, look at my life. How should my family be? He said, look at my family. The Sahaba did not say, there is not a single narration that I know of from any of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, which says, keep me separate from Islam. My life is different, Islam is different. Nobody ever said that. No one ever said that. They said, you want to know what is Islam? My life is Islam. We are Islam. We are the face of Islam. So how come we seem to have a different worldview? And that is the root cause of our problems. The root cause of our problems is that we, not anybody else, we have separated ourselves from Islam. This is our root cause. We have separated ourselves from Islam. And that is why we have been deprived of the barakah of Islam. Otherwise, tell me why. Tell me why. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven, every single day of the year, 365 days, and is willing to give to the ones who ask, how come we don't get? How come we don't get? So either this hadith is wrong, no such thing is happening, or something else is wrong. Now we know the hadith is right. How come we don't get? Because we are not there. Because when that happens, we are sleeping. When that happens, we are sleeping. Then how will we get? How will we get? Even here, even today, even though you came here for the purpose of learning, even though you came here for the purpose of attending this course, and you know in advance that tahajjud begins at 5 a.m., how many people were here at 5? How many people were here before 5? I know some people, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you. Some of you were here, but how many? Was everyone here? No. And believe me, if I am not going to ask anybody, it's not my way. I do not ask adults, I do not enforce anything on adults. It's your life. Do what you want. So I will not even ask you, why were you not here? It's not my problem. I was here, I know that much. But if I ask you, each one of you will have a reason. This happened, that happened, water did not come in the shower, or whatever, alarm didn't go off, or you know, Allah knows best. Each one will have a reason. But does that reason bring back to you the barakah of that time of tahajjud? Just because you had a good reason, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to say, you know, Nihal was here and he was weeping before me, so I will give him something. And you were snoring at the same time in sync with the weeping, and I will also give you, because after all you had an excuse. Is it going to happen? It's not going to happen. No way. The one who gets is the one who asks. And the one who was asking was getting. And you didn't, you were not asking, you were fast asleep, so how will you get? And because you had a reason, it does not change the reality. Excuses don't change reality. If we walk into this room, somebody comes and wants to come into this room, what is he going to see outside this room? He is going to see the symbolic representation of the state of this ummah. And what is the state of this ummah? We are an ummah which is confused. We are an ummah which has no order. We have an ummah which is completely devoid of discipline of any kind. And what is the symbolic representation of that? The way we arrange our shoes outside the masjid. Complete confusion. We do not know whose shoe is where. We do not know what. If you want to reach your shoe, you have to stamp on somebody else's shoe. And that somebody else doesn't care. Yes or no? Tell me, how long does it take? And how much effort does it take to put your shoes in line? Exactly the same effort it takes to put your shoes out of line. There is no change in effort. Whether you put one shoe next to the other, or whether how your shoes are placed shows the length of your stride. You know, you kick off this one here and the next one you kick off there. Next. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We think these are small things. They are not small things. They are not small things. Let me say something. For example, I tell you, I ask you a question, and I say, Ya Abu Muhammad, I want, Ya Abu Abdullah, I want something. Can you do this for me? And he says, yes, I will do it. I say, by when will you do it? He said, by 10 o'clock today, 10 a.m. you will have this. He said, Alhamdulillah, now I am relaxed. Alhamdulillah, the brother is capable, and he told me a specific time, by 10 o'clock it will be ready. No problem. Now come 10 o'clock, no sign of the thing, no sign of the brother. Now I am hunting. Yeah, I know. Where did he disappear? What happened to him? Was he human? Was he a jinn or something? He disappeared. Allah knows, you know. He looked like he was a human, but maybe he was not. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And finally, I sort of, you know, run him down and I catch hold of him. I said, what happened? He said, no, but you know, I went to the tafsir class. Subhanallah. So you went to the tafsir class. Now what happened to the thing, what happened to the promise you made to me? What happened to the promise that you made to me? That also went for tafsir? Your promise was open to tafsir. So 10 o'clock, 10 is time, is not a number, time is open to tafsir. 10 can mean anything. Subhanallah. So we are saying today that my session will begin at, say, maybe 9, I don't know, the timetable I have not seen, but maybe 9 o'clock. But 9 o'clock means now I cannot rely that people will be there 9 o'clock. Because 9 o'clock can mean 9 o'clock to me, but 9 o'clock to you may mean something else. And some other person has another different tafsir of 9. And 9 is a figment of the imagination for someone. And for someone, 9 is a symbolic of the 7 heavens plus 2, which I never heard of. Right? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know what you and I are doing when we promise somebody something and we do not deliver? You know what we are saying? Listen carefully. You know what we are saying? No matter what the promise was, supposing it doesn't have to be a huge, big, humongous, global thing. No. Anything at all. Anything as small as possible, as within quotes, insignificant as possible. If you made a promise, If you told somebody, if I say to Abu Muhammad, Abu Muhannad, I will meet you at this time. Abu Dujana, I'm calling Abu Muhannad, is another friend of mine, mashallah. If I say to Abu Dujana, I will meet you at a particular time, right? And I don't meet him, I have not delivered on my promise. So what am I saying to him actually? I am saying to him, Ya Sheikh, please don't rely on me. I am a liar. I tell lies. Don't rely on me. I am highly unreliable. Have no faith on me. If I tell you something, it can mean anything. This is what I am actually saying. When I do not deliver on a promise, I am saying to the world, please don't rely on me. I am a liar. I am a cheat. I say something, I do something else. This is what I am saying if I say to somebody, I will do something and I don't do it. So think consciously. Now you might say, well, you know, after all, I am human. I said I will come by 9, but maybe something happened, the sky fell on my head. So what should you do? If the sky was falling on your head at 5 minutes to 9, phone and tell the person. Make some attempt to tell the person that I promised something but I am unable to deliver. Please forgive me. Now the time has changed to whatever it has changed. But if you don't make any effort, you don't make any attempt to correct that or to change the promise that you made and to ensure that the person is not put to any difficulty. If you make no effort, you just vanish, you disappear without trace, and the other person has to go chasing you. Believe me, you are making a statement about the kind of human being you are. You are making a statement about the kind of Muslim you are. And then if the world goes away and say, you know, if you want something to get done, only one condition, don't give it to a Muslim. If you want quality, only one condition, don't give it to a Muslim. If you want reliability, only one condition, don't give it to a Muslim. If the world is saying this, do you think they are wrong? Do you think they are wrong? Because this is our experience. And this is also their experience. My brothers and sisters, Islam is not the meaning of reaching a destination. Islam is the meaning of staying on the right path. We did not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us to a destination. We said, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. He said, oh Allah, guide us to the right path. Islam is not the meaning of, Islam doesn't mean we reach a destination. Islam means you stay on the right path. And these are not my words. This is what Shaykh Nasiruddin al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi has said. He said, Islam does not mean reach a destination. Islam means stay on the right path. Because the right path will take you to the right destination. And what is that right path? A man's word has a meaning. And when I say a man's word, that term man is not a description of gender. It's a description of the quality of integrity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term in the Quran. In many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term rijal. Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wala bayun an dhikrillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said men. Not an issue of gender. Men, rijalun. What is the description? La tulhihim tijaratun wala bayun an dhikrillah. Men who their trade and their business does not distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the zikr of Allah. So what does it mean? For women it's okay to be distracted? No. That is the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the bayan of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means people who are not distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Those people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them. So my question to myself and you is, let us live consciously and ask ourselves consciously and say, am I a standard bearer of Islam or not? And as I told you, you can't say I'm not a standard bearer. No. You can only say what kind of standard bearer. Once you accepted Islam, you are a standard bearer of Islam. Good one or bad one. And therefore it is very important for us to consciously ensure that we practice and demonstrate our Islam life. Because that is what we are. And if we do that, inshallah, if we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without deviation, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He said, Jalla wa'ala, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do my ittiba, follow me, follow my sunnah. You want to enter Islam fully? How to do that? Look at the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do what he did. Do it within quotes blindly. It's not blind. It's not blind at all. It's a conscious decision. You are following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not because you stood on a, you shut your eyes and you threw a dart and it hit a name on a target. No. You have seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have studied his character. You have studied his life. You have consciously accepted to be his ummati. You have consciously accepted to be a Muslim. And now if you say, I'm following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without question, it is not blind following. When you go to a, when you go, if your heart is doing funny things and you want to go and check it out, you go to a cardiologist, you don't just walk on the street until you see a sign and you walk into the surgery. No, you ask people, who is the best cardiologist? Who is the best person? How do you know he's the best person? Oh, he did this, he did that. Oh, alright, so fine, I'm going to that person. Now once you go to that person, you don't say, please can I see your degree? Did you actually go to the medical school or not? No. You found out, you did all that. Now you know. Now when you go there and he tells you, do this, don't do that, you follow. Now is that blind following? No. That's following with understanding. There's no blind following in that. You chose specifically and you followed. Where is the blind following in that? So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you follow my Nabi like this, which is do whatever he told you to do. Leave whatever he told you to leave. Do whatever he told you to do and leave whatever he told you to leave. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever my Nabi gives you, take it. And whatever he tells you to stay away from, leave it. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very clearly. And if you do that, what will happen? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And before that, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. The question I ask myself and ask you, do you want Allah to love you or not? You know, life is actually very simple. Life is actually very simple. We complicate it unnecessarily. But life is actually very simple. Simple basic questions, one or two questions you answer, the rest of your life will be absolutely in line, no problem. So the question is, do you want Allah to love you or not? If the answer is yes, do what? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't confuse yourself. Don't unnecessarily get into arguments. Don't fall into this trap, that trap. Do what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did or told you to do. And inshallah, Allah jalla wa ala will love you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he loves somebody, automatically he forgives their sins. Wallahu ghafur rahim. So let us today make up our minds that we are standard bearers of Islam. What kind of standard bearers do we want to be? Let us make up our minds that we want to be standard bearers of Islam, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be proud of. We want to be among those who, about whom he said, I will be with my brothers and sisters on the day of judgment. We want to be among those who will be called the brothers and sisters of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us consciously make this decision. And from now onwards, let it not be said that we did anything which reflected badly on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please understand, when the world today abuses and curses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are doing it because of what we are. They are doing it because they are seeing us. They are doing it because their experience of Muslims is like that. Let us not fall into this trap. Don't worry about this propaganda, this and that. That all that happens. Leave that aside. But propaganda cannot exist in a vacuum. Somebody cannot say something which, for which there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever in the world. For propaganda to exist, for smoke to exist, there has to be some fire. Maybe the smoke is disproportionately large, I agree. They put some green stuff on the fire so that smoke is, it's a small fire but makes a big smoke. But can you say that there is no fire? If there is no fire, there will be no smoke. As simple as that. So let us put out that fire, and that fire is us. That fire is inside us. It's in our lives. Because our lives are not being led according to the standard which was set by Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If our life was led according to the standard that was set by Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then our lives would be full of the barakah of that standard. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to live our lives as standard bearers of Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your lives with the barakah of being standard bearers of Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us such standard bearers of Islam that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be proud of us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us such standard bearers of Islam that on the day of judgment each one of us will be given the standard of Islam to carry as a flag, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send behind us hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people all into Jannah, Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you for coming here, to make this whole course a source of great khair and barakah, to accept all your du'as that you make, to give you that which you ask, and to give you that which you could not ask because you did not know, merely and purely from the barakah of my Rabb Jalla wa Ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.